Scripture reading this morning comes from 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 24. That's 1 Samuel chapter 12, and that's verse 24. It reads, "Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider what great things he has done for you."
I just wanted to pass on, the pantry this week has been cleaned out. There was a lot of things in there that had went way past the expiration date on the things, some of them by years. Our pantry is about empty. And so I encourage, if you can, to help us to restock a little bit. If you're bringing items from home, make sure that you check the expiration date. I know that the dates on cans and things are sell-by dates, but that's the only thing that we have to go by. We do not want to give out anything that may have gone past the sell-by date. If something should happen, the church would be liable, but we need a whole lot of different things, vegetables, canned fruits, canned meats, pasta, you name it, we could use it. But please just, we're so grateful for those in the past who have helped us with our pantry. We don't have as much of a use or a need for it or desire for folks coming in, but if there are those who do need it, we would like to have it available to them. The scriptures leading up to this verse, the children of Israel were asking for a king. Samuel knew what they were asking for, but Samuel did not approve. God then told Samuel that it wasn't that Samuel was being rejected, but that God was being rejected. God had always led his children. And when Samuel had told the people what they had done, they prayed for repentance. It is out of this background that this statement that Samuel made, "Consider how great things he had done for you," is made. That is what I would like us to consider this morning. What great things God has done for you and for me. The blessings of the earth, these things that we enjoy on a day-to-day basis, are for you. In Genesis chapter 9, after the floodwaters had receded on the earth and Noah and his family and the animals had left the ark, in verse 3, God told Noah, "Every moving thing that lives shall be meat for you. Even as the green herb have I given you all things." Since that time forward, even after billions of people lived on this earth today, there is still ample food for everyone. I realize there are people who are hungry. I realize there are people starving. But it's not God's fault. God created this bountiful world in which we live, and God intended it also to be filled. It is man who has squandered the bounty of the earth, but God still gives. In Joel chapter 2 and verse 23, Joel writes here, "Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the later rain in the first month." Now, when you read this on the surface, this is one verse that's very cryptic. It's kind of like a politician's speech. What's he saying here? But very simply put, that God has given us the seasons for our benefit. In the spring, we put seeds in the ground, And through the summer, God sends the rains and stuff for those to grow, and then comes harvest time. And then comes winter when the ground is left to rest. This is by God's design. Not for God, but for you. In Matthew 6, in verses 25 through 34, here in this part of the second part of the Beatitudes, Jesus preaching here, he says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, the body more than clothes? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they are? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit to his stature? And why take ye thought for clothes? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They don't toil, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For all of these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore take no thought of tomorrow. For the morrow shall be take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. In Acts chapter 14, Paul was in the city of Lystra, and he was taking the opportunity to preach, and the people there were thinking, this guy's a god. And trying to convince them that he was not a god, in verse 17, Paul said, nevertheless, he left not himself a witness in that he did good. And he gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. These are the earthly blessings that no one can deny. God didn't place all these things here for himself. He's living in a place far more beautiful than what we have here. But God is giving these things for you to sustain and to enjoy your time here. The power of the Lord is for you. This power was seen in times past in physical Israel. In Deuteronomy 1 in verse 30, Moses here wrote, he said, the Lord your God goes before you. He shall fight for you according to all that he did for you in Egypt before your eyes. In chapter 3 in verse 22, he says, ye shall not fear them, for the Lord your God will fight for you. And we find the similar concept and idea in chapter 20 and verse 4 and Joshua 23, verse 3 and verse 10. The Lord will also fight for you with his commandments. In 2 Kings 17 and verse 37, the scriptures say, in the statutes and the ordinances and the laws which he wrote for you, you shall observe to do forevermore. You shall not fear the other gods. The commandments, the statutes that God had given, the law that God had given, had held up Israel for them. But better physical is the spiritual. The gospel is God's power for spiritual salvation today. Romans 1, verses 16 and 17, it reads, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith." In Colossians 1, in verses 25 and 26, Paul said, "Wherefore I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which has been hid from ages and generations, but now is made manifest to his saints." The word manifest, to be made known to his saints. Since the beginning of creation, the mystery has gnawed at men. It has gnawed. That's what the beauty of this is. I have talking to family and friends and those in other denominations who claim to me that there's still this mystery. The Bible says the mystery's been revealed to you. It's not been made to all those in the religious world. Only that those who have obeyed God's commands and the gospel. In Romans 8, starting in verse 31 and going through in verse 39, Paul says, "What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Is it God that justifies? Who is he that condemns? It is Christ that died, rather, yea, that is risen again, who is even the right hand of God, also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep to the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Did you catch the last part of these verses? Nothing. Nothing on this earth. And these last verses list everything that we can face can separate us from the love of God. Why? Because we are in Christ. His power is for you. Also, the death of Christ is for you. This statement is best said by Peter in 1 Peter 1, verses 18 through 20. Peter said, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver or gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was made known in these last times
for you. For you.
In Luke 22, verses 19 through 22, Jesus, he had his disciples gathered together. He desired to have the Passover with them. This was a great time for Christ, a time that he cherished. His most faithful followers were there in this one room with him, with the exception of one. It is here where we see Jesus instituting the Lord's Supper. I don't know if any of you have ever partaken of a Passover feast. There's a lot of things involved in it. I particularly like the horseradish, the bitters. But I'm a glutton for punishment. But of all the things that Jesus took from the Passover, he used the two most common things that you can find in all the world. Bread and fruit of the vine. He tells his disciples here, after he broke the bread, he said, "This is my body, which is given for you." And as he took the cup, and he blessed it, this said, "This is my blood, which is shed for you." Most assuredly, Christ died for you. The rewards of heaven are for you. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 3 through 6, Paul writes here, "We give thanks to God and to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you, as it is in all the world, and brings forth fruit, as it does also in you since the day you heard it, and knew the grace of God in truth." Laid up for you in heaven. I've oftentimes gone back into the Bible, especially in the Revelation, and looked up as far as what heaven is going to be like. I look at all the, and read of all the precious jewels, of the gold, so pure that it's as glass. And I try to think, is that really what heaven is going to look like? Or is that the best that man can use in his words to describe it? I think it is going to far exceed that. And God has offered it to only one creature that he created, man. You, me. Only one. My labs will not be there. My cats will not be there. But you will. And I will. Because he is giving us the rewards of heaven. 1 Peter 1, verses 3 through 5, Peter writes of the begotten. That's us. That's us. And he also writes of the inheritance that is reserved for us in heaven. An inheritance that is incorruptible, that is undefiled. An inheritance that won't fade away. For those who have obeyed, that inheritance
is for you.
In 1 Peter 5, in verses 6 and 7, Peter said, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you." Growing up as a child, I always thought, and I still believe, that I had the most loving person who I could ever call my father, my dad. He cared for me. He cared for my brother and my sister and my mom. He cared for his grandchildren. But what promises did he leave behind for me? He left behind, at least for me, a good name. He never embarrassed the family name. But everything that he left behind is things that will never survive the test of time. Because all of the things that have been left behind are material. He did leave it behind for me and my sister and my brother. But it will be gone. But God has left behind an inheritance for you forever. If you have not obeyed the gospel, do you want some of this also for you? Do you want the earthly blessings? Do you want the power? Do you want the death of Christ dying for you? Do you want to partake of the heavenly rewards? Heaven is available. Not willy-nilly given to everybody, but available to those who will seek it. God will give you all these things for you if you will only obey his command to obey the gospel. It is not the power of Dennis or the power of your parents or the power of your friends or your relatives to save, but the power of God unto salvation. I cannot save you. You cannot save me. But as Peter told the multitudes in Acts chapter 2, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Save yourselves. If you want these promises, if you want the promises God has made for you, won't you come and take it now? Knowing that if you repent with all your heart, that you want to change your life, that everything you've done in the past, you want to leave in the past, that you want to confess Christ as the Son of God, that you baptize for the remission of sins, God will add you to his church. You're not joining the Malden Church. You're not joining Augusta Road Church. You're joining the Lord's church. You're not joined. He will add you there. He knows your heart. And all these things, everything that I mentioned this morning will be added to you. Maybe you are a child of God. Maybe these things also you realize, but you've fallen short. Maybe you've turned your back on him. Well, the Bible says there's only one sin that can never be forgiven, and that's blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. But every other sin, regardless of what you've done, is forgivable. With a penitent heart, God will forgive, and He will forget. Maybe you've just had a rough week. Maybe the pressures of life have built up against you and you just need the prayers of the congregation. Whatever your need this morning, we want to give you that opportunity to respond as together we stand and we sing.